pray in the Holy Ghost. Just go ahead, lift your hands and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit like a desperate generation. Our land is desolate. The heritage of God is being cut off from among us. A tribe of sons that bear the testimony of fire must emerge. Can we go ahead and pray for a baptism tonight? A fresh baptism of fire. Nations are not born in the parliament. Nations are not negotiated in the parliament. He said, as soon as Zion travailed, they brought forth her children. It is the nation that is born on the altar that is negotiated in the parliament. If our land will bear the testimony of righteousness, then carriers of the flames of heaven must emerge. He maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers, they are flames of fire. The witness that the world is speaking is not a witness born out of intelligent Bible explanation. It's a witness of flames. Flames that shut down the agenda of darkness. And we are that generation that will rise with fire. If they ask of him rain in the time of the latter rain, he will cause bright clouds, and there will be dew upon every blade of grass. Because in the last days, no one is left out. He said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he said, they were together in one accord. And suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And when the flames began to descend, every head that appeared carried a flame. Can you insist tonight? I must catch that baptism. I must receive my flame. There is a witness I must bring to my generation. The land cannot remain cold. The land cannot remain desolate. There is a witness that is emerging from heaven. I am part of that witness. Go ahead and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. It's a trigger for attention. Pakarato separatira. Parakata stevaka. Pray in the Spirit. Aya. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Our time is very short. But we don't need eternity for God to do something that is eternal. The Bible said, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Just in a moment, everything can turn around. In the next 20 minutes, I'm just going to speak for 10 minutes. And then we'll pray for 10 minutes. Something must fall here tonight. And it will not be a story you will hear. You will be the proof that something fell. If I'm talking to you, your amen will be louder. Sit down for a moment. Wales, the land of revival. The prophet Isaiah raised the lamentation. Why has the virgin become a harlot? The land that the Lord spent so much to till, why has it become a desolate land? The heritage of God is allocated to a people and a territory. But you see, it takes a lot of priesthood for that heritage to be preserved. When the priesthood of God over a territory is lost, the heritage of God will be lost in that territory. When I read the stories of this land and I walked in, all I saw were tales and memorials. Memorials of Bible college. Memorials of stories that were told. And the question I ask is, where is the fire? Our land cannot become a pilgrimage center on account of something that happened over 100 years ago. A generation must press and carry the witness of yesterday in the now. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That which he did before, he must do in our generation. That is the heart that begs revival. When we become satisfied with tales, then we will lose the heritage of God in our borders. And we have gathered here tonight because we are insisting as a people that the hand of God must manifest again. We have gathered here tonight because we are insisting as a people that which he did over 100 years ago, he will do in our own time. That's why we are gathered. And before we begin to pray, I just want to share two things with us to help us engage this priesthood with understanding. The first thing I want to share is the significance of fire. And the second thing I'll share is the protocol for accessing the rekindling of the Spirit. Because nothing in the Spirit is done randomly and haphazardly. There is always a protocol. And if we don't understand the significance of fire and the protocol of fire, even the theme will not mean much to us. But I tell you that this theme was excavated from a depth in the Spirit. It is not just given as a cliche. It's a move of the Spirit. And there is a spirit and a wisdom and an intelligence behind it. And that is what we must discern tonight. There are five things that make fire a must. And a generation must have that witness of fire. Number one, there will be no witness of God in the land except as the flames are rekindled. And when I talk about the witness of God, I don't say it casually. If you step into any territory, you will discover that the texture of that civilization reveals the character of the spirit that power it. This is one of the intelligence we discovered as we studied the scripture. In Daniel chapter 9, we saw that Daniel decided to embark on a fast to find out why Israel would remain in captivity. From a peripheral standpoint, you would think it was an obsession of the rulers of the time. It was when Daniel began to press in the spirit that we discovered there were princes in the heavenlies that were creating the structure of that civilization. And so bondage is not actually the way of Nebuchadnezzar. Bondage is a character of the prince of Persia. And when the prince of Persia is enthroned over a territory, whoever is sitting on the throne is a puppet that will insist on bondage. When you come to a land that was once a land of revival, and you can no longer see the flames, all you see now are movements that journey in the path of perversion. Know that there has been a different kind of enthronement in the spirit. And until a new witness comes and the prince is at the throne, that which God intends to do in this land will only remain a history. A generation of fire is the generation that can bring witnesses that can dethrone princes. Daniel began to intercede and we saw that the prince of Persia was carrying out an activity. Now, when you study in the New Testament, Paul revealed to us three ways of bringing witness that can dethrone princes. Number one is by the revelation of the authority of the believer. He said in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21 that Christ is seated in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, he said we are seated with him. So on the strength of our authority in Christ, through priesthood, we can contend and insist on the heritage of a land because we are seated far above principalities. The second technology Paul introduced is in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, wherewith you will be able to withstand all the wiles of the devil. And he told us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You know, when you talk about princes in darkness, some are deluded to think they are only in Africa. The powers that are regulating this land are more advanced in darkness than those in Africa. All you find in Africa is poverty and corruption. When you come here, you will find princes of perversion. Technology that has been encoded into textbooks that can be read. In this land, people can cast spells by reading books. That means the technology here is superior. And so if we will engage in priesthood here, we need superior intelligence in the spirit. And Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means there is a wrestling that takes place. If I had time, I would have shown you how these princes enter a territory. Number one is principalities. The word is archaic. They are princes that come first. And the job of the principalities is to create a quorum. Because the heavens belong to God, but the earth belongs to the sons of men. For a prince to take dominion over a territory, he needs the allegiance of the men in that land. And so when a principality shows up, he can look for those who are prophetic. And because he knows that they have access to the heavens, he will advertise some form of lust so that they can compromise and open the gate. When he's done, a power will come. The job of the power is to create an addiction. And when addiction is created, you will discover that which you entered by choice, you can no longer come out because now a power is involved. And when a power is done, then
the rulers of the darkness of this world comes, they are magistrates. They are the ones who legalize it and make it a culture of the people. And when they are done, then spiritual wickedness in heavenly places come. They are called proneria. Their duty is to create depravity in the souls of men. So a day comes when people no longer see the necessity for God in their civilization. They think God is a story for fanatics. Meanwhile, they have been brainwashed by darkness. The only way you can fight those princes is either by exercising your believer's authority or by putting on the whole armor of God. And then the third way Paul revealed to us is by the testimony of fire. He said he maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers, they are flames of fire. The reason you have a Bible college here, but there's no revival, is because this thing is more than biblical exegesis. You need a testimony of fire. The way you fight princes is by burning with a flame that they cannot discern. You know, when the prince fell in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17, the Lord judged him and said, I will cause fire to come out of you and burn you to ashes. So when a man shows up with fire, it reminds him of the judgment that was put upon him from the heavens. This is why a generation must carry fire. If we will change the operations of the land and enthrone the ways of God again. See, fire is not negotiable. It's a witness. It's a witness both in the realm of God and in the realm of spirits. In the realm of God, it purifies. But in the realm of demons, it torments. And so if a generation will tell the devil, get back from our border, it's beyond arguing intelligently in the parliament. Men of fire must rise. If we have just 24 of them standing at different gates in this land, you will discover that some of the trends you see will die a natural death. If you don't see fire, it means the number, the quorum, the ranking of witnesses is depleted. The first reason for fire is to bring a witness that has the stature to establish the government of God. The second reason we need fire is because our potentials in Christ can't manifest without fire. For you to shine, you must burn. He said it was a burning and a shining light. See, we come with certificates from Harvard, certificates from Oxford. That's important. There is a place where we use that for negotiation. But before you carry a certificate, you must have a credential in the spirit. And the credential we have is that we are the sons of light. There is something we carry that cannot be taught in Oxford University. There is something we carry that cannot be taught in Cambridge. And every one of us must appear before the coast of fire until our elements are activated. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord and his flame filled the temple. And suddenly, a prophet that had a certificate from a Bible school encountered the seraphims. And he said, with two wings, they covered their faces. Two wings, they covered their feet. I said, with two wings, they fly. And when they came to him, he said, they touched his tongue with one of the coals of fire. And he was purged. Listen, if all we have is what the world gave us, then our testimony will be at their level. We cannot contend beyond their rank. But there is something we have from heaven. We don't only have the things that universities give. We have things that the world cannot deny. They are the lightings of the spirit that dwells on our inside. But how can you shine? The only way to shine is to burn. He said concerning John, he said he was a burning and a shining light. And you were willing to stay under his light for a season. The light shone so bright that the Bible said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. Why do you think our churches are dry? Why do you think the territory is becoming desolate? There are no priests that are burning. But see, a generation is rising that will say, this thing is beyond Sunday morning. I will meet them in the market. I will meet them in the university. I will meet them on the street. And the more you shine, the more the flames of heaven will touch them. This is why we are gathered. This is not another Christian gathering. This is a convergence point where fire must touch you. That part of you that must be touched with fire so that the brightness of his glory will manifest. You must be touched in that part. Why do we crave for fire? Number three, fire awakens our seasons in God. We have seasons. We have times. We have dispensation. And this is another season in God's calendar. But it will take fire for it to happen. Before John manifested, he had to wait until the fire came upon him. There was a prophecy that he will come in the spirit and power of Elijah. But he never manifested until he began to burn. The moment he began to burn, his season came alive. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world, walked for 33 years. He waited for the fire to descend. The moment the fire came, he began to burn. And when the apostles were about to step out, he said, don't go with textbooks. Don't go with lecture notes. Don't go with tales of fraternity. Don't go telling people that I was with Jesus in Galilee. He said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. If the fire does not come upon you, your season cannot appear. And the Bible said they were in the upper room in one accord until the day of Pentecost. And it says suddenly they heard a sound as of a sound from heaven. And it said cloven tongues as of fire rested upon them. Immediately the season opened. So it takes fire for your season to appear. Most of you are overdue where you are staying, but there's no fire to awaken your season. God has told you that you will conquer the United Kingdom. God has told you that you will shine in Swansea. God has told you that your ordination will speak. But where is the fire that breaks your season? Where is the fire that awakens your season? This is why you cannot sleep. It's a woe unto him that is at ease in Zion. We must press until the fire begins to shine. Why do you need fire? Number four, it is a testimony of divine approval. Every time God approves of a man or a generation, he seals it with a flame. Every time the sacrifice is put on the altar and God receives it, he seals it with a flame. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 to 24, when the offering was put on the altar, the Bible said in verse 24 that the flame of fire came down and licked it up. So when you find a man burning, it's a token of divine approval on his life. And so if our generation is approved of God, the way God will show it is by releasing fire upon us. And that fire will cause us no longer to walk by our human propensities, but by the powers of the Spirit that is locked up on our inside. So we will no longer know any man after the flesh. We will know men after the dimensions that they represent. Because when God approves of you, he commissions you with a mandate. He commissions you with a dimension. He commissions you with a power. That is what you take to your world. This is why you must insist. You will not watch people receive fire here tonight. You must carry your own flame. You must carry your own dimension. You must carry your own from heaven, because it's available for everyone. When the fire fell on the day of Pentecost, nobody left without it. You will not live here tonight unless you catch your own fire. You will not live here tonight unless the flame rests upon you. You will not live here tonight until the fire falls upon you. Our generation is in desperate need of fire. We have the textbooks, we have the doctrines, we have the teachings, we have the strategy. What is remaining is the fire. And oh, how glorious it is when fire falls on a man. You will see a weak and feeble man suddenly become a veteran. And you are asking, how is it happening? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power of the highest overshadows you. You will discover there are realms in God beyond training. There are realms in God beyond qualification. It is the realm where God himself breathes upon you by the flames of heaven. This is what we have come to insist tonight. But how do you receive the fire? There is a protocol. The first protocol is that you must become the sacrifice. Because the fire rests only on the sacrifice. The fire rests only on the offering. If you are waiting to receive fire to add to something else that you are doing, you are not a candidate. That's why I told them, leave everything you are doing, tarry in Jerusalem. You must make yourself the sacrifice if you are expecting the fire to rest upon you. Listen, if all of us, we receive the fire here tonight, then every one of us, we have to swear an oath of allegiance. Jesus, I live for you and you only. You will be the one that matters in my life. I'm not adding you to my life, I'm adding my life to you. You don't belong to me, I belong to you. I live only to please you. I live only to do your will. Your government will regulate my life. The moment you present yourself as an offering, you cannot but burn with flames. Paul teaching in Romans 12 from verse 1, he said, I beseech you dearly beloved, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. How does God accept the sacrifice? By the fire. There must be a commitment tonight. Thank God the sounds have created the atmosphere. I could sense it. Oh, when the worship songs were going on, different flavors of the fire was just passing through the auditorium. I interacted with them. At a point, I started weeping there. And I said, oh, tonight, a generation will be born. But we must first of all be committed. There must be an allegiance. There must be a submission that we are the sacrifice. If we make ourselves the sacrifice, the fire must rest. Number two, how does the fire rest upon you? You must rid your heart of everything that brings discord. Every time the fire falls, they are together in one accord. Acts 1:14, Acts 2 verse 1, they were together in one accord. That's what pulls down the fire from heaven. A generation that has not censored the heart to walk in love cannot see the fire of God. Listen, this thing does not begin and end with prayer. Your prayer must touch your heart until you are rid of everything that brings about division or fleshly expression. This competitive generation, this generation of bitterness, this generation of hatred, this generation of pride. Somebody is at peace until God begins to help his neighbor and he loses his sleep. Because if it is not him, it should be nobody else. Even when we are praying for revival, we are actually not praying for revival. What we are saying is, Lord, use me and me only. You cannot use any other person except it is me. And if God begins to work with any other person, we disconnect from that person. We will never support that person. Even if we want to interact with that person, it is to pull him down until he fails. There can be no revival that way. A generation that sees revival is a generation that masters the act of one accord. It doesn't matter who you impact. It doesn't matter who you make a voice. It doesn't matter who you lift up. This thing is about taking territories. This thing is about colonization. This thing is about establishing your government of the earth. And if you will begin with children, we will stand with them. If you will begin with illiterates, we will stand with them. Whoever you choose to put your hand upon, all of us will stand with them until your will finds expression. When God finds that generation, then he sets them on fire. We must be in one accord. This is not an emotional thing. What is going to happen in this territory will be beyond this meeting. Some of you will leave this meeting as you are driving to the office on Monday. You will find yourself speaking in tongues uncontrollably. The prophetic will break out of you. The healing anointing will break out of you. Wisdom will break out of you. You will start knowing things you didn't study. Then you will know that the meeting didn't end when the doors were shut. Because the doors can be shut, the heavens will remain open. The third way the fire falls is when we fan it to flame. 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. I put you in remembrance that you endeavor to fan to flame the gift of God that is in you. The fire can be an ember. When you fan it, it can become a furnace. You know the problem with us? We are not fanning. We are talking. We are watching movies. We are making friends. We are going on holidays. But we are not fanning the fire to flame. He said the fire on the altar must not be put out. Leviticus 6:12. He said the priest must put wood on it every morning. You want the fire to keep burning, you have to fan it to flame every morning. I don't know if there is a desperate person here tonight who is seeking fire. But if you are the one I'm talking to, this is the time to pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if there's somebody here who is tired of the status quo. I don't know if there's somebody here who is tired and said, Lord, this is our generation. We must manifest the glory of God. And you want to begin to fan to flame what has already begun to happen in your spirit. I don't know if there's somebody here who said, Lord, if you still take territories, use me. The Bible said Philip went to Samaria. He preached Christ there. The city was filled with joy. One man can take a city. If one man can take a city, look at our number for God's sake. Father, if you raise one man and he can take a nation, make me that man. If you raise one man and he can take a city, make me that man. Tonight, by all means, let the fire fall. Let the flame rest upon me. You want to pray that prayer aggressively? Let's pray in the Holy Ghost for just 2 minutes. Makatakora Paragata.
mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign.
Coming here, the Lord told me to make one declaration. Because what will happen here will go beyond this meeting. God told me to make one declaration. And I was so blessed when you started talking along that line. He said, let the dead come back to life. Let the dead come back to life. He said, even the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And he said, they that hear him shall live. He said, let the dead come back to life. I want to speak over you now. Just one word. And something will be activated on your inside. But before I release that word, tonight, if you are here, help that sister. If you are here and you want God, you are telling God, I want to become a living sacrifice. I want to submit myself to you. I am the offering. Bring the fire. If that is your prayer tonight, lift your right hand towards heaven. I am ready to serve you. See, this system is designed in a way that serving God is almost impossible. You walk around the clock to make money that you spend on bills. But there is a superior way to live in a society like this. Lord, make me the offering. I refuse to be swallowed up by the forces of this land. I refuse to be swallowed up by the forces of this territory. I present myself to you as the Lamb. Set me on fire. If that's your prayer, lift your hand. There is a need for a fresh rededication. That's the hand the Lord will see, and the baptism will rest. Father, you said the dead will come back to life. You said the dead will come back to life. There are about 24 of you here that God will breathe upon you now, because a new move of the Spirit is about to begin. Wherever you are standing, Maras Tepecatoria, Bakaruda, Bakasta, Vende, Zezo, Paraduna, Osha, help me now. These ones are offerings unto the Lord. Help me now. Father, let that flame descend upon them now. Swansea, a new era opens over you. Wells, a new chapter opens over you. He maketh his angels, spirits, his ministers. They are not talkers. They are not Bible school graduates. They are flames of fire. Wherever you are standing, I proclaim now, let the dead come back to life. Everything in you dead, let it come back to life now. And let there be a fresh baptism of fire. Carry that fire now. Carry that grace now. Carry that fire now. Carry that grace now. Watch, accept me. Give me a microphone quickly, just 1 minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost, pray in the Holy Ghost. I want to lay hands on some of them quickly. There are kings. There are kingdoms. Help me, help me, help me. There is something coming here. Beraka patosa paragata. Senegina paradano. Ostacepta. It's about to become violent. Pero sepeke. Zabruta paragata. Setetabina maradonos. Melia para velika. When the fire rests upon you, it can bring you into wisdom. It can bring you into power. It can bring you into miracle working dimension. In the name of Jesus, carry the fire.
There are thrones. Only as you are will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. Only as you are.
Only as you are.
Voices,
one more time. The Lord is telling me now, some of you will become voices over nations. The Lord is telling me now, He will bring some of you into realms of economic power. You will determine the policies of nations. He's telling me now, He will bring some of you into dimensions of miracle working power. And you will become balm in Gilead and over your generation. One more time, can we lift that hand? Can we lift that hand? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. There is an ordination coming upon some of you now to become voices over your nation, to become voices over your territory, to become custodians in the spirit, keepers of dimensions in the spirit. There is an ordination coming here now. I come to you as one sent by the Spirit. Father, wherever they are standing, men and women, male, female, young and old, white or black, wherever they are standing, dimensions unseen, realms unperturbed, Makora, Pakora, Dabakada, Usher, help them. It's coming like a whirlwind. In the name of Jesus, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Carry that flame now. Carry that flame now. Carry that flame now.
There are kings. There are kingdoms. There are mountains. And there are thrones. Only a true will reign forever.
I'm rounding up now. I'm rounding up now. There's an apostolic mantle that will descend here now. Some of you will be commissioned to the marketplace. Some of you will be commissioned to government. Some of you will be commissioned to ministries. It's a grace that sets men apart and empower them with the mantles of heaven. Wherever you are standing, everyone ordained and commissioned to function by apostolic powers to take territories, to take cities, to take systems and take empires. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring them that witness now. I bring them that witness now. I bring them that witness now. Interact with that mantle. Interact with that grace. Interact with that mantle. Interact with that grace. In the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to those watching online, carry that grace now.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And if anyone here is sick, in the name of Jesus, I come against sickness. I come against the spirits of infirmity. I take authority over sickness, sicknesses of the organ, of the blood, eyes, ears, whatever part of your body that is sick now. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, let the chain of sickness break from your body. I command deaf ears, open blind eyes, see. I command cancerous growth be gone. I command heart infection, kidney infection, brain infection, every organ that is sick, in the name of Jesus, be healed now. Take that healing now. Take your healing now. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, be made whole now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead for my justification. I, therefore, confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said these prayers, congratulations. You are now a member of the family of God. Kindly send us an email, prayer@encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministriesinternational.org. God bless you.